And so in Ephesians 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The enemy shoots flaming arrows into our thinking, into our hearts. Flaming arrows that disrupt things and cause problems in our thinking. Thoughts of doubt, fear, worry, unbelief. Thoughts of being defeated. You know, and I like this. I was thinking about this recently, and it's not in my notes, but he will use against us what I call the what ifs. You know, you've prayed about the thing that's bothering you. You've prayed about it, and Lord, I refuse to worry about that. I put my faith in you, God. I lay it, roll it over to you, and now you're at peace, and you're walking along, and suddenly, but what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? And you can follow the what ifs from now on. I tell you what, there's no end to the what ifs. You've got to take a stand against the what ifs, because see, the devil, you've already gotten some peace, but then he wants to come back. But what if this happens? What if that happens? Whoa, I hadn't thought about that. Now I'm trying to figure out what I would do if that happened. I was trying to figure out what my move would be, how I would bring it back into control, how I would fix it. And see, now I'm worried about stuff that probably will never happen. You know, even the secular people studying worry and fear say that 99% of the things we worry about never happen. So now I'm spending all my time, I'm down to this thing. What if this happens? What if that happens? That's just a side thought there. So we stand against those things. We resist them. And verse 17, I like this one a lot. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. This word translated as salvation here is the Greek word soterion. It's not the word sozo that we see translated as salvation a lot of times. This is the word soterion, which means the hope or expectation of future salvation. The hope or expectation of salvation. In other words, it's a full believing that God's going to deliver me. I'm fully believing. I'm totally confident. But I'm facing a challenge. I'm not delivered yet, but I have full expectation that God's going to deliver me. That's the helmet of salvation. That's what covers your mind and protects your mind. I know God. He may not be here now. The deliverance may not be now, but I know He's on His way. I know He's coming. At some point, He will always make me to triumph in Christ Jesus. He will always make a way of escape. Always means always. But what if... No. We're not going to go there. What if He doesn't come through this time? Oh! So, it's the hope of and full expectation that God's going to deliver me. It's the helmet that covers our head. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our weapons are not all just defensive weapons. We have one that's an offensive weapon. The Word of God spoken out of our mouth, spoken in prayer, has a devastating impact on the enemy. So spiritual warfare is not only about standing against the devil's attack. With the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we can also launch an attack on the enemy. No, devil, that's not going to happen. In the name of Jesus, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I am healed and healthy and strong because Himself took my infirmities, bare my sicknesses. See, now we're launching an attack against the one who is attacking us. And, you know, it says He's looking for someone He might devour. See, He'll stop and go looking for an easier target. If you resist Him, He's looking for someone who will fall apart under pressure. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, that's what He's looking for. But when He finds that you're not one of those, He will move on and move quickly. The Bible says that He will flee from you. And the word flee means flee in terror. You're the devil's worst enemy when you will not succumb to worry and fear. Because you enter into a place of peace, and that is the place the devil cannot deal with. Do not try to fight the devil in his domain, in his arena. Take him over into your arena, the arena of faith and peace and trust. All righty. Well, praise God. We're at the part I wanted to get to. All that was an introduction. The first ending, yes. Okay, turn to Psalm 91 if you have your Bibles. This is a wonderful, amazing passage of Scripture, Psalm 91. And we all know it and love it. And, we've all stood on it many times, I'm sure. But I'm seeing a new thing in this Psalm 91 that I've never seen before, based on the study on casting your care to the Lord, being careful for nothing. It says in Psalm 91:1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now this verse refers to a secret place or a hiding place in God that's available to those who trust in Him. It's a place that not everybody knows about, or it wouldn't be called secret. Maybe one of the best kept secrets in the world. The same Hebrew word is used in many other places in the Old Testament, so it's not an isolated scripture. And I'll just read a couple for you. Psalm 32:7 says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." The Hebrew word for that word songs is ron, R-O-N. Like, yeah, praise God. It means a shout of joy is really what it means. They translated songs there. But my hiding place, that's the same word as secret place. Psalm 27:5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. In the secret place or the hiding place of his tabernacle, God will hide me." Have you ever felt like you needed to go hide somewhere? God has provided a hiding place. Oh, I've been there. Praise God. And I know everybody here has it one time or another. Psalm 64:4, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings," or in the hiding place of thy wings, the secret place of your wings. Praise God. "Under the shadow of his wing." Anyway, so there is evidently a hiding place, a secret place we can enter into in God, a place of refuge. And as we said earlier, the Lord desires for us to come and abide there, to remain in that place, the secret place of the Most High. And verse 1 says that he that dwelleth or dwells in the secret place. The first meaning of that word translated as dwelleth or dwell means to sit or to sit down. He who sits down in the secret place of the Most High. And I can't help but think of that scripture we looked at in Hebrews 4:10. "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." So this one has sat down. He ceased from his own works. You see, when we're carrying burdens and worries and concerns, we're standing in our own strength and ability to fix things and to bring things under control and bring them back into order. Yes. And as long as we do that, we don't have much need for help from the Lord. If I can handle this, what do I need the Lord to do anything for me for? If I can handle this, if I can manipulate things and fix them, as long as we're in that condition, we have not yet ceased from our own works and put our trust in Him. You know, it's our own ability to manipulate things. So to sit down means to take a load off, to cease from our own efforts to control. Now, when we finally do sit down and stop trying to manipulate things, God will give us directions on what we need to do. In other words, He'll tell us what we really need to do, and that's what we call in the Bible waiting on the Lord. What are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting on Him to tell us what to do about what we're facing. We're waiting to hear from Him. We're not jumping up and trying to do it ourselves. We're waiting to hear from Him, and He'll always speak. Verse 2 says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God, in Him will I trust. The Lord is my hiding place. I take refuge in Him and not in my own ability to fix things. He is my God," or that is, "my divine one." the definition says, divine one. He's our heavenly Father. He's our divine one. We have a connection, a divine connection with Him. In Him will I trust, it says. So the way you sit down in the secret place is through trust. And trust is the way you stay there. The meaning of this word translated as trust is very interesting. It means to feel safe in, to be carefree, to feel secure. To feel safe in, to be carefree, to feel secure. To feel secure is exactly the opposite of feeling troubled and worried. To feel safe when something is threatening is exactly the opposite of worrying and being anxious. We can read it this way. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I feel safe. That I like that a lot. Because when we're in times of trouble, we're looking for a place we can feel safe. Someone says, do you trust the Lord? Oh, yes, I trust God. Do you feel safe? Oh, Lord, no. You don't know what I'm going through. How can I feel safe? I thought you said you trusted God. Well, you've not yet sat down in the secret place of trust. And this is not easy, folks. You have to labor to enter into this. Yeah. It happens when things are going wrong, when things look bad. You got to do this stuff. Trust is a choice that must be made. Trust is a choice that must be made. Trust is a choice that must be made. That must be an important statement. I want to say it half a dozen times. We have to make the choice. It's not automatic. We must yield or surrender to it. We're trying to do it our way. We got it all going on. But at some point, I have to surrender to trust. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Praise God. I'm beginning to understand what that means. Do you really surrender all? What about that worry and anxiety you're carrying? Oh, well, I better hang on to that just in case the Lord doesn't come through. But do you trust the Lord? Oh, yes. He's my rock and my fortress. Is He really? You know, you haven't let go. You haven't sit down yet. So, verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So who is He talking about here? He's talking about the one who is seated in the secret place, the one who has ceased from his own labors, from his own works, the one who is set down in that place of trust. You see, it delights the Lord to find someone who will abandon his worries, fears, and burdens to Him. And what will He do for that person? Surely the Lord shall snatch him away from the snare of the bird trapper, from the calamity of plague and pestilence. Whatever he's snared in, the Lord shall surely deliver him. Not maybe, but surely. The one who is seated in the place of trust. With certainty, no question about it. What a benefit. That alone would take care of most of the problems we face in life. If the Lord would deliver us from the snare of the fowler. If He'll surely do it, most of our problems will be solved. But there's other stuff. There's much more. Verse 4, and we're looking at a list of benefits for a person who is willing to cease from their own labors and sit down in the place of trust in God. And I'm not saying you don't trust God. Don't get me wrong. But there is a place where we abandon. We cast our fate to the wind, so to speak, with God. And totally give over to Him in surrendering in trust. Now, verse 4 says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Oh, this is good. It's good. I may not even preach this. It's so good. No. Just keep you wondering. No. He will cover you like a mother bird covers her offspring. And under His wings you will do what? Trust. That is, feel safe and carefree. That's what the word trust means, you remember. And that is the primary meaning of that word if you look it up in the concordance. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, I always thought of that when it said his truth. I always thought that was referring to his word, his truth. And his word really is truth. We know that to be correct. But the literal meaning of this word truth here is his faithfulness, his trueness, his sureness, his reliability. Your trust in his faithfulness to deliver. Your trust in his faithfulness to deliver. That's his truth. His faithfulness, his trustworthiness shall be your defense against the enemy. It will be a shield and a buckler. It's like the shield of faith. Faith that God will deliver me. And remember, it quenches all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. Then I find this a little amazing. What am I actually putting my trust in when I'm trusting God? I am trusting in his unwavering faithfulness to deliver me from whatever situation I'm in. Go ahead, brother. No, a buckler, see, a shield is something that stands up in front of you. A buckler is something that you buckle onto your arm or hold it with your hand. It's like for close combat. The shield would stop arrows, would stop the flaming arrows of the wicked one. But the buckler is when you get into close contact with him. Close combat. And so he said, your truth, your the realization and understanding that you are faithful to deliver me, that's my shield and my buckler. Against whatever the enemy's got, I can fight him off with that. So, that's where I feel, that's where my feeling of safety and carefreeness comes from my trust in his reliability, in his trustworthiness to deliver. I can rely on you, no other one as true. A lot of meaning in those words right there, in some of these songs we sing. I can rely on him. You can rely on him. Whatever you're going through, you can rely on him to bring you through it. That's a strong thing against the enemy right there. Are we daring enough to fully and completely rely on him? Sounds a little scary, maybe even dangerous, especially when there's something at risk. Oh, if God didn't come through, I'm sunk. Well, that's a good time to trust him. So, Psalm 91, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. Who is he talking about? The person who's seated in the secret place of trust. That's who has this list of benefits in their life. You'll not be afraid. Entering the secret place of trust and staying there will eliminate fear from our lives, all fear in every form. Why? Because the Lord's divine protection is upon our lives and we know it. We have no doubt about it. It says he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you and protect you. Terror, arrows, pestilence, destruction, none of it will come near you. That sounds like a great place to be. Amen. Praise God. That's some great benefits right there. 10,000, 10 schmousand. Doesn't matter how many fall at your right hand. It's not going to come near you. He didn't say it might not come near you. He said it's not going to.
That's right.
How many are beginning to suspect that this is a very special place in God, outside the ordinary realm of existence that most people in this world live in? This is the life of the one who has entered into the rest of the Lord, the one who has seated himself in the secret place of trust. I want to be there. How about you? Okay, we're almost done with this psalm. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, you'll see it happen to others, but it won't come anywhere near you. The reward of the wicked. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. This is why, because you've made him your habitation. That's the reason these good things are happening to you. You have ceased from your own works and entered in the secret place of rest. What's the result? There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. He'll give his angels charge over you. Sound like he looks at you in a kind of a special way. Wow. Why is God doing all that stuff for you? To keep you in all your ways, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, evil cannot befall the person who has seated themselves in that secret place. They have angelic protection. Total safety and protection sounds impossible, but it also sounds like something we're looking for, right? I'd like it. I'd like to have it. If the Bible promises it, why not? Oh, verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. The person who is seated in the secret place of trust will put the enemy under his feet. Can you see why the devil might want us to keep on worrying instead of entering into the secret place of trust? Because when we get there, we're going to put him under our feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. When we enter into that place, we instantly become the devil's worst nightmare. That's why he wants you to not enter that place. You become his worst nightmare. Can you see why it might be important for us to learn to take dominion over worry and fear and begin to enter into trust in the Lord? Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. Now the Lord himself is speaking. See, it was the psalmist. Now it switches into a different person. It's the Lord himself speaking. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. His prayer life is works. You know, when he asks God to do something, it happens. I'll be with him in trouble. Didn't say he wouldn't have trouble. He said, but I'll be with him in trouble. Amen. I'll deliver him from it. I'll honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and I'll show him my salvation. Yes. Praise God. Look what the Lord is excited to do for us. So many wonderful promises. I will deliver him, set him on high. I'll answer him when he calls. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll satisfy him with long life. And I'll show him my salvation, which means salvation, deliverance, welfare, and prosperity. See, the point is there's a special place in the heart of God for anyone who will cast their worries and anxieties upon him. Let them go and be seated in that place of trust. So I want to close this right now with something the Lord dropped in my spirit yesterday morning while I was thinking about some of these things. And the verse that triggered it was that verse 8 of Psalm 91. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. See, I didn't initially have much to say about that verse. I said, well, you know, you'll see people getting the wrong reward, but it won't come near you. You won't have it. Only with your eyes you'll see it. But what came to me yesterday morning as I was thinking about this was there is obviously, I say obviously, I think you'll agree, a special supernatural force or power working in the life of the one who is seated in the secret place of trust. There would have to be something unusual, something non-typical, something powerful going on for Psalm 91 to be true in any person's life. All of those benefits happening, there would have to be some special supernatural power going on. They don't just happen without supernatural help. And this force or power operating their life defers from them many of the hardships and difficulties that others experience. Only with your eyes you will behold it, the reward of the wicked. What is that power? Well, it's the power of heaven. We can know that. It's God's power. It's the power of the kingdom working in our life. But for some reason, it's operating more in this person's life than it seems like everybody else's or a lot of other people's. It worked in Jesus' life in full strength. And you notice nothing bad happened to him until he made the decision to lay down his life for us. He did it on his own. He did it, you know, himself. No one took his life. He had the power to lay it down, the power to take it up. But you remember he went in some crowds sometime. People wanted to throw him off the cliff. They wanted to stone him. And he said he walked through the midst of them. Is that natural and normal to be able to walk through the midst of people who are trying to kill you? But he did it more than once. So that power works in each of our lives to one degree or another based on the level of surrender to the Lord. Remember we talked about surrendering those things, letting those things go. We kind of touched on it in the song service this morning, you know. And near that time we were having this time of devotion. Surrender means, to me, to be the most appropriate word to describe our level of trust in the Lord. Surrender is equal to our level of trust. How much have we surrendered ourselves to trusting Him? How much have we let go of trusting in our own abilities? I can fix it, Lord. I can fix it. Let me just think about it, worry about it a while. I'll come up with something. The amount of worry and anxiety we carry in ourselves is a measure of how much we have not yet surrendered to trusting Him. The amount of worry and anxiety we carry in ourselves is the measure of how much we have not yet surrendered to trusting Him. It was bad enough the first time I said it, then I had to repeat it, right? How much worry and anxiety do we carry? Well, that's how much we don't trust God. God will never, ever force us to trust Him. Trust is a totally voluntary decision on our part. Either we surrender our worries and our fears and our concerns to Him, or we hold on to them ourselves. There's only two options. When we surrender them to Him, at that point we cease from our own labors and rest in our trust in Him. We allow ourselves to do what? To feel safe in Him. Oh, I wasn't feeling safe, but I cast my care to the Lord, and now I feel safe. I've got a safe feeling in my heart. I'm not troubled and upset anymore. I've got safety in my heart, security. I just feel safe in Him. This is the purest and truest form of devotion to God that there is. We enter into the place of rest and we stay there. We make it our home. We abide in it under the shadow of His wings. We enter into that place and stay there. We don't get back up and enter into our own labors again because we know the futility of it. Day by day by day, we continue to cultivate our trust in Him. Lord, I'm facing this situation, but I'm trusting in You. In the name of Jesus, I put off worry and anxiety. I put my trust in You, Lord. I give it to You, Lord. Now I feel safe. Now I feel secure. I'm not worried. I'm at peace, perfect peace. We cast all our cares upon Him and we rest in perfect peace. And in the process, we become pleasing in His sight. He rejoices over us. His eyes have run to and fro throughout all the earth. And now He has found someone whose heart is perfect toward Him. Someone in whose behalf He can show Himself strong. And that's what He's always wanted to do. And that's what He's always looked for. Someone who would totally surrender all of my abilities to Him. He's been looking for that from the foundation of the world. Is that something you want? I do too. Amen. Well, we got through that pretty good. Let's just stand together and pray about this for a moment. I don't exactly know what to pray, but yet I know we just need to receive something from God this morning. Amen. 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 Thank You, Lord. Let's just lift our hands for a second. Lord, Father, we thank You for this message. This message about rest. This message about resting in You. This message about trusting in You with all our hearts and leaning not to our own understanding. We thank You for this message of the secret place, the hiding place of God, the secret place of the Most High that we can enter into. Father, that we have a hiding place that we can retreat to in You, and it's always there. It's the place of trust, the place of surrender to You, Lord. It's a place where we can feel safe and secure, carefree in You, no matter what's going on, Lord, no matter what's going on. Trusting in Your faithfulness, Your trustworthiness, Your reliability to deliver us, Lord. Full trust in You. We know You're coming through, Lord, whatever it is. And so, Father, we ask You to teach us and give us the revelation on how to cast our burdens to You, Lord. How to roll them over to You, Lord, and leave them there. We know that You don't worry about anything, God, but You're willing to take our worries for us. So, Father, we thank you that you care for us and you desire to carry those burdens. And so, Lord, we desire to sit down in the secret place of trust. Father, right now, we release those things to you, Lord. We release those cares and worries to you, Lord. Those things that have maybe been bothering us. Lord, we just release them to you right now. We thank you that you're willing to carry them for us. And Lord, in exchange, we thank you for your peace. Your peace that passes all understanding, Lord. We receive it into our hearts right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We cease from our own labors. We enter into the place of rest. You are our refuge. You are our fortress. You are our God in whom we will trust. We give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks. We receive it right now, Lord, in Jesus' name.